John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." And may God add his richest blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you've made yourself known to us in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. We thank you that you have spoken to us by your Word, and we pray now that your Holy Spirit, your Spirit who overshadowed the Blessed Virgin Mary and caused the incarnation of the Son of God, the same Spirit who inspired your Word in your Holy Scripture, would come and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, that we would see and hear and know and follow and offer ourselves promptly and sincerely to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. Jesus, the truth. We are in the middle of a series within a series. We're going straight through the Gospel of John, and we're taking time now to focus on the three things Jesus says about himself in John 14, 6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Today we look at Jesus, the truth. A few years ago, the ARP Women's Ministries recommended a book for our circle's Bible studies that was written by Reverend Wallace Tinsley, friend to many of us, pastor of the Filbert Presbyterian Church, just a few miles to the south of us. I expect many of you ladies have Mr. Tinsley's book on your shelf. It is a study on the life of Joseph, basically a commentary on the last third of the book of Genesis. Mr. Tinsley entitled his book, View from the Top. Now, most commentaries don't have catchy titles like that. My favorite commentary that I'm using on John is entitled simply and unremarkably, The Gospel According to John, by D.A. Carson. But a few, like Mr. Tinsley's title, commentaries have more interesting titles. My favorite title is that of a little commentary on the letter to the Hebrews by a Welsh preacher entitled, "I Wish Someone Would Explain Hebrews to Me." That's how I feel. Well, I tell you that because as we have worked our way through the Gospel of John, and especially as we come to the passage before us, a title for the Gospel of John suggests itself to me. Maybe we can get a real scholar like John Simons to write a profound commentary on the Gospel of John and use my title. But before I tell you what it is, let's look at the passage. First, you see in this passage that to know Jesus is to know the Father. Look at verse 7. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now, there are numerous ways this is taken and translated, but the issue here is clear. It's fairly negative. In our translation that I'm using, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." It almost sounds like he's rebuking his disciples. It sounds like he's saying, you don't even know me. But the issue is not so much that they don't know Jesus at all, as much as it is that they haven't connected the dots yet. They know Jesus, but it's still not fully registered in their minds what it means to know Jesus. Now, the ESV Bible, it has a footnote there that says it could also read, if you have known me, you will know my Father also. It's, that's not a negative. In that translation, he's not saying you don't know me. He's saying you do know me, and I promise you that because you know me, you will know the Father. But that misses something as well. I think what Jesus is really saying here is this: you know me, but what you have not yet figured out is that if you know me, you know the Father. On the one hand, he's not telling them that they don't know him. And on the other hand, he's not saying that they do know him and therefore at some future date they will know the Father. No, this is what Jesus is saying. They do know him and therefore they do know the Father. But they have not yet come to understand that. But for now, the point is clear. However confusing that may be, the point is clearly that to know Jesus is to know the Father. Secondly, in this passage, to see Jesus is to see the Father. Look at the end of verse 7. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now, in this verse and a half, there's one of the most astonishing statements that had ever been made on this earth, followed by one of the most astonishing requests ever made on this earth. But first, you see the astonishing statement. At the end of verse 7, Jesus says, you have seen the Father. What does John say? You remember the very beginning? No man hath seen God at any time. He is immortal, invisible, God only wise and light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. But Jesus says, you have seen the Father. You have seen him who is invisible. But then, not to be outdone, Philip, in verse 18, makes an equally astonishing request. He says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. And we assume Philip was acquainted with the Old Testament, and presumably he knew that Exodus 33 was in the Bible. That Moses, the one to whom the Lord used to speak face to face as a man speaks to his friend, he asked the Lord, show me thy glory. And you remember the Lord said to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. So why does Philip ask to see the Father in verse 8, which to his mind would surely have been lethal, to see the Father? Well, Jesus had just told him he has seen the Father. And Philip is probably thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm still alive. No one can see God and live. You're telling me I have seen the Father. Not only am I still alive, I don't have any recollection of having seen the Father. I don't feel like I could have seen God and not noticed. Jesus, Lord, please explain this to me. I have seen the Father. And so Jesus does. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? You have seen the Father because you have seen me. Dr. Kelly in seminary used to put it this way. He said that Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus says, "You're looking at him." To see Jesus is to see the Father. You see that to know Jesus is to know the Father. To see Jesus is to see the Father. Thirdly, in this passage, to hear Jesus is to hear the Father. Look at verse 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." Jesus speaks, he says, not on the authority of himself, but on the authority of God the Father. The words he speaks are the Father's words. John, you remember he said back in chapter 3, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." When Jesus speaks, the Father is speaking. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To hear Jesus is to hear the Father. Fourthly, you see that the works of Jesus are the works of the Father. Look at the end of verse 10 again. "I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." You know, it's been expected there the way he ends. He's talking about the words that he says. He doesn't speak his own words. And we would expect Jesus to say, "But the Father who dwells in me speaks his words." But instead, he says, "The Father who dwells in me does his works." See, he shifted from words to works. Why? You know, with us, our words and our works do not necessarily always line up. We don't always live up to what we say and what we promise. Some of us better at it than others. But with God, there is no division between words and works. What he says, he does. There are no empty words with God. Every word from God is a work. And so Jesus says, not only are his words God's words, but his works are God's works. Look at verse 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Of course, he's talking about his signs, the miracles he has performed. Jesus says, "Believe in me because I am doing things. You have seen me do things that only God can do." So to know Jesus is to know the Father. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To hear Jesus is to hear the Father. The works of Jesus are the works of the Father. And fifthly and finally, you see that the Father and the Son are in each other. The Father and the Son are in each other. Look at verse 10 again. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Twice he says that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. And once in the middle he says that the Father dwells in him. Now Jesus here is leading us into some mighty deep waters. The mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son. Why does Jesus go there? His disciples are confused. Or they hadn't put it all together, at least. And Jesus has just explained to them that if they know Him, they know the Father. If they've seen Him, they've seen the Father. If they've heard Him, they've heard the Father. And what He does, the Father does. Or better, what the Father does, He does. And Jesus knows that they, and He knows that we, and that I, might be a little bit confused by all that. And there's at least two ways we could get confused. One is, His disciples may have thought that Jesus was simply saying He was the Father's messenger, the Father's agent. You know, the prophets, when they preached the message God gave them, what the first thing they said? Thus saith the Lord. To hear the prophet was to hear the Lord. Their words were God's words. And so the disciples might take this to mean Jesus is like that. He's like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and no more. Just a man. The other mistake is to the opposite extreme. If to see Jesus is to see the Father, and to know Jesus is to know the Father, and so forth, they might get to thinking that Jesus is the Father. That they're the same person. One person. And so in order to steer them clear of these errors, Jesus explains to them and to us that He and the Father are in each other. That means they are not the same person. But it also means that Jesus is not just another prophet on the same level as Moses or Isaiah. He and the Father are in each other. Now, there is one God. Only one God. And He exists in three persons. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these three persons are distinct but undivided. You know, don't you, that all the illustrations of the Trinity teach heresy. Legend has it that St. Patrick, dear to this town, St. Patrick used the three-leaf clover. One plant, three leaves. You know, that's about like saying one pie, three slices, isn't it? You know, the problem with that is that each one is only one third of the whole. But the Father is not one third of God. The Son one third and the Spirit one third. You put them all together and you get a God. No. The Father is all God. The Son is all God. The Spirit is all God. Or you've heard the old illustration that the Trinity is like H2O. Water, ice, and steam. Water, H2O, can exist as solid, ice, liquid water, or steam, gas. It's the same substance. Problem with that is the same molecule of H2O can't be ice, water, and steam at once. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one at the same time. They are undivided, one mind, one will. But they're three persons, not one. And they're not one third of the God. The fullness of the Godhead is comprehended in each person. And because the persons are all in each other, one is never without the others. The Son is not the Father. The Son became man. The Father did not. The Son died on the cross. The Father did not. However, the Son did not become detached from the Godhead when He came to earth. The Father was still in Him, still bound by the Holy Spirit. So on the cross, the Father forsook the Son, and the Son said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the Father was still in the Son. But the Son was crucified and not the Father. Now, I want you to know, I don't understand what I just said. You sitting there thinking, what is he saying? What is he talking? I don't know either. But I was extremely careful in how I worded it. Jonathan Williams, did I say anything heretical?
No, sir.
All right, you're the expert. I believe it with every fiber of my being, but I do not understand it. The Blessed Trinity is absolutely my favorite subject in or beyond this world. I love the Trinity. But I don't understand it. But Jesus is teaching it here. Whether we understand it or not, the Father and the Son are in each other. Now we're running out of time here. What does this have to do with anything with us? If you checked out on all that mutual indwelling stuff, go ahead and check back in. Here's the point. Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus is the true revelation of God. How can you know what God is like? How can you know Him? Where can you go for true knowledge of God? If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. I am in the Father and the Father in me. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know the true God, look at His Son. Listen to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Now, people really like to rag on Thomas and Philip in this passage. Most people think that the point of this is that Thomas and Philip are just completely ignorant. They've been with Jesus 3 years and they don't have a clue who He is. And there's some truth to that. But I don't think that's really the point. It's not about them. It's about Jesus. And what does this tell us about Jesus? These people have been with Him 3 years and did not realize that to see Him is to see God. This tells us that in Jesus Christ, God Almighty came down so far that you could listen to Him, look at Him, eat with Him, live with Him for 3 years, and not even notice that He was God. There's a word for that. It's called humility. Yes, Jesus turned water into wine, fed 5,000 on 5 loaves and 2 fish, walked on water, healed the sick, paralyzed and blind, and raised the dead. But somehow, while He was doing all of that, He was so humble that those nearest to Him just did not think of Him as God. But that shows us where their and our thinking about God is off base. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. I promise we will stop in Matthew. Matthew 11. And look at verse 27. Matthew 11, 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. That's the same thing in John 14, isn't it? Only the Son knows the Father. Only the Father knows the Son. The Son makes the Father known to whomever He chooses. Just like what John is saying in our text. The Son makes the Father known. Now, Matthew 11, look at the next verse. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus like? He's gentle and lowly in heart. That is, He's humble. And what had Jesus just said? He reveals the Father. He makes the Father known. So what does that say about God the Father? He's humble. God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, is gentle and lowly in heart. Always holy and exalted and majestic and glorious and omnipotent and sovereign, but don't overlook the fact that God the Father Almighty is supremely humble. The most humble being of all. Jesus Christ, though He was God, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This God, whom no one can see and live, veiled Himself in flesh and came down to us. And in the flesh in which He was veiled, He bore the sin that blocks us from seeing the glory of God and living. And by His death and resurrection, He has taken the sin away so that through Him we may see the glory of God the Father and not die but live forever. This is God. This is who He is. This is the truth. God is exactly who and what we see in Jesus Christ. The Father is no different from the Son. He does not love us any less than the Son. He is no less humble than the Son. The Father is identical to the Son. Now you remember I told you I had a title for the Gospel of John? Well, this is it. like son, like father. When a boy turns out to be like his daddy, we say like father, like son. But John is telling us that when Jesus takes us to that place he has prepared for us in the Father's house, we will find that the Father is exactly like his Son. Like Son, like Father. Many of us have had a similar experience. And it goes like this. We bring a friend home, and they meet our parents. And later on, our friend says, "Now that I've met your daddy or your mother, it all makes sense. You make sense now that I've seen where or who you came from." And I'm almost tempted to say that when Jesus takes us to that place he has prepared in his Father's house, that we might say to Jesus, "Now it all makes sense. Now that I've met your Father." But it won't be like that at all. No, when Jesus takes us home to his Father's house and we enter the presence of God the Father Almighty, we will say, "Oh, I've been knowing you all along. He that has seen me has seen the Father." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.